Romans, the fourth chapter. We were here last week and talking about what is called, and I say what is called, justification by faith. When you hear that term, so oftentimes it's talking about a doctrine. Well, I'm not talking about a doctrine this morning. I'm going to talk just simply about what the Scripture says. And when I say this, sometimes you have to go through and say there's some stuff you need to throw out. And I will say this, if you've got a doctrine of justification by faith, and since the Reformation, you're not supposed to say this, but I'm going to say throw it out. Don't throw the Scripture out. But if you've got a doctrine that, well, we believe we're justified and all this happens, or this is the way God sees us, if you've got a doctrine about justification by faith, this would be my advice. Throw it out. And let's just look at what the Scripture says. And Romans, the fourth chapter, the 13th verse. For the promise that he should be heir of the world, and this is speaking of Abraham, was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And really, this whole chapter and this whole teaching is answering the question, why did God give promise to Abraham, and why will God fulfill that promise to you? That's this whole chapter of the things we're going to talk about. Promises, well, you see in this verse here, it's a pretty big promise. The promise that he should be heir of the world. It's a promise given to Abraham. And this is what this whole issue of the righteousness of faith is telling us. Why God would give it to Abraham, and why God would fulfill it to you. How many remember the song, maybe, Abraham's blessings are mine? Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I won't sing the rest because they got it all wrong. Abraham's blessings are mine. You say, well, what do you mean? Because they go to the blessings of the law and claim it as Abraham. Mine in the city and mine in the field. That's not the blessings of Abraham. Abraham's blessings was this, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That was the blessing of Abraham. And blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I'll multiply your seed. And it was a promise, he said, that he should be heir of the world. Didn't come to him because he kept the law, but because he had the righteousness of faith. Now, we're going to come back to the fourth chapter in just a second. And Galatians, the third chapter, 7, 8, and 9 there. Know ye, therefore, that they which are of faith are the children of Abraham. I said this issue of justified by faith is actually telling you why you get the promise that was given to Abraham. Why you get this unspeakable promises offered to this man, and it comes this, because they which are of faith, they're the children of Abraham. And the promise was to Abraham and his seed. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Now, this is one of those verses that we can preach endless services preaching the gospel. And God summed it up in this one verse. In thee shall all nations be blessed. And it was the gospel preached to Abraham. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And so the issue again is, why did God give this promise to Abraham? And why would God give Abraham's promise to us? And it all comes back to this issue. The Scripture calls justified by faith, or the righteousness of faith, is the reason that Abraham received the promise, and the reason that you, if you haven't, you can, and if you have, it's the reason you have received this promise. Let's go back to Romans, the fourth chapter. The scripture says, read this again, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Not going to re-preach last Sunday morning, but just to show that the scripture says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And that's the thing that we've got so many doctrines built around. And those three words are accounted to him for righteousness. Five words that so many things are built around. You hear someone says, that means that God sees you as innocent. That means that God sees you as perfect. That means that you're saved and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That means you're on the way to heaven. That means, you know what? He believed in the Lord and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Righteousness means, you know what that means? That means he believed in the Lord, and it, his believing in the Lord, was accounted to him for righteousness. What God was saying is, this man believes me, and that man offers a sacrifice and doesn't believe me. I choose this. That's all that it means. This man does religious works, goes to the place of worship, offers his sacrifice and his service and thinks that he does me a favor, but doesn't believe me and doesn't believe my word. And this man believes me. I choose this man. And just that his faith, Abraham believed God when God called him out of his own country into a land that he knew not. And he said, Abraham, you follow me. He believed God and his feet began to move. He began to follow the Lord. Abraham believed God when God promised him a son when his wife was barren. Abraham believed God and trusted God when God told him to take that young lad up an offering, a burnt offering. Abraham believed. The scripture says he accounted that God was able to raise him from the dead. He trusted in the Lord. Someone else could say, but God, look what I've done for you. But God says, but this man believes me. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. More precious to God than sacrifice, than religious works, than religious deeds, than religious offerings, is that a man would hear my voice or a woman and believe me and trust me. And that's all that that scripture means. Sometimes you got to get back just to the simplicity. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The scripture says the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Abraham offered God. I want you to hear me. This faith counted for righteousness is what Abraham offered God. He believed the Lord. His faith is what he offered God. He didn't come with works. He didn't come with wealth. He didn't come with money. He didn't come with his own promises. He offered his trust, his faith unto God. And based upon that, God said, I can make this man heir of the world. I can make this man, I can give him promise. I can make his seed as the sands of the seashore, innumerable. Amen. I can bless all nations through him. No limit to what God can do. When he found a man that would believe him. And that believing before God was a righteousness greater, and I want to say this again, than offering sacrifice, greater than keeping the commandments of the law, greater than all these things. I tell people this. People talk about grace, and so often people try to narrow it down to, well, grace is unmerited favor. You know, we all know that. No, we don't. I don't. You say, well, of course it is. If it's not unmerited favor, it's not grace. And I said, well, then tell me this. If it's unmerited, why do only those that believe God receive it? How many can see that? That those that don't believe God don't receive grace. Those that don't believe God are not blessed. Those that don't believe God cannot be saved. Why? Because you can't say that the grace of God, that there's not that that God looks for. You say, well, you're preaching works. I'm telling you what the Scripture says. No, I'm saying it's not a works. The reason I say it's not a works because some people think the words they said make God receive them. No, that's works. Some people said the pool they was dipped in makes God receive them. That's works. Some people said the promise they made makes God receive them. No, God looks past that. And the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And I want to tell you, this is a righteousness that a sinner can come to God with. You believe that? You say, well, a sinner can't come to God with righteousness. He's a sinner. This is a righteousness that a sinner can come to God with. Amen. This is a righteousness that that man in the temple that wouldn't even lift up his head came to God with. Beating upon his breast, saying what? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what did Jesus say? I said, this man went home justified. This was something that God would receive. You say, but if God knew this man, oh, he knew that man. And he knew that Pharisee over there saying, God, I thank you I'm not like him. I thank you that I'm better than him. And he looks at this man, and this man has come to his end, and he's ready, and he is now turning to the Lord and believe in God, and it's to this man that God can give promise. Because he's offered God the righteousness that God was looking for from man. A righteous offering, and it was faith that God counts to be righteous. You say, well, it's not really. No, yes, it is. I want to ask you something. If I say something's blue and God says it's green, what color is it? Huh?
Green.
I've got a suit jacket. It'll change color 3 times before I get to church. And I've called Karen a couple times. Karen, I thought this was my blue jacket. It's my black jacket. She'll get to church. She'll look at me. She says, that is your blue jacket. If God tells you that something is green, it's green. And that's when it says God accounted it to him. We get this doctrinal mess that, well, then God just sees it that way. Yes, he sees it that way because he's got good eyes. Amen. He sees clearly. And man looks and says, oh, this man, he believes God, but he's not tithe of all he possessed. He's not given the offerings. He's not done the religious service. Oh, this man is the one God will receive. But God sees clearly. And he accounts faith, even from a sinner, as something that he can give promise to. So the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For they of the law be heirs, faith is made void, the promise none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there's no transgression. 16th verse. Those two verses kind of interrupt. I'm going to read the end of the 13th and go to the 16th. But through the righteousness of faith, therefore it is of faith. What is? The promise. Now, the promise we read over in Galatians was what was preached in the gospel, wasn't it? He preached the gospel to Abraham. That was the promise. And so this whole chapter is about who receives these precious promises of the gospel. Who receives them? Because the Jews said, you can't. The Jews said, you're heathen. The Jews said, you have no covenant. You have no hope. You have no promise. The promise was made to Abraham and his seed. And if Jesus was the Christ, it could only be to us. And Paul is saying, you got it all wrong. Those that are the seed of Abraham are those who believe God like Abraham did. And they're the ones that inherit his promises. And so that's why he was saying the gospel come to the Gentiles. That's what this whole fourth chapter is about. Therefore, it is of faith. Who receives the promises? Was it because your mother or who your father was? No. I thank God that my dad is a man of God. I thank God that my mom is a woman of God. I thank God for that. But I didn't receive the promise of this salvation because of who either one of those were. I received it because one day I was very close to that man beating up on his breast, crying, God, have mercy upon me. Lord, I've slipped to the furthest, I've sank the deepest, and I've been filled with the most darkness, but God, can you save me? And he said, I can give promise to this one. So the promise to Abraham, this promise of a great redemption, he said, it's a faith. That's the way you get it. That's the way you qualify for it. That's the only ones that can receive it. That it might be by grace. That might be all God. He gives it to those that believe Him. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. If it was upon intellect, some of us wouldn't get it. Now would we? Amen. If it was upon talent, some of us wouldn't get it. If it was upon our track record, none of us would have received it. If it was upon our internal fortitude and willpower, most of us would have missed the mark. But he says what God looked for was the righteousness of faith, and he still looks for that. And when he finds that, he gives grace. Now here's what I want to do first, is to show again, and you may not see the importance of this morning, but I trust if the Lord has us here for 2 or 3 months, that by the time we're done, you'll see it. But this righteousness of faith is not salvation. It doesn't mean that you've received the righteousness of Christ. It's what you come to God with. What you, I want to tell you, saved man or lost, what you approach God with, if you're going to receive anything from Him. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to who? To all the seed. Who's the seed? Everyone that believes the gospel. Not only that which is of the law, but that which is also of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. This is what God said to Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed, same word, as accounted to him for righteousness. Now I want you to see in this what was accounted to Abraham for righteousness, or what God had respect to when he wouldn't have respect to others and all their religious service, just like Cain and Abel. God had respect to Abel's sacrifice, and God would not receive Cain's. But he gives the story of Abraham, and he says, before him whom he believed, God who quickens the dead and calls things which be not as though they were. You know, we went through a time in the church that everybody was saying, you know, that we're supposed to be like God, call things that be not as though they are. No, when we do it, it's lying. Huh? You say, well, you shouldn't say that. Well, if your kids do it, what is it? If your coworker does it, what is it? If your neighbor does it, if so-and-so that calls you up and tells you all the juicy news on everybody does it, what is it? Lying. But when God calls something that everything we see, it is not, but God says it is, I promise you, God's not the one that's wrong. And He's laying it out about something that He's fixing to bring them in, starting with this next chapter through the heart of the book of Romans about a gospel. And part of it's like this. He says, knowing this, our old man is crucified with Christ. How many have looked at that or remember a time you looked at that and said, well, that's not the case? Any of you? Not my old man. He's alive and well. Amen. And I keep him that way. I pump him up. I give him what he wants. I feed him. I follow him. I do that. Or the other says, no, I fight with him and I subdue him and I do all these things. But the gospel denies both, doesn't it? The gospel says this. This is what God says. Knowing this, our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And we say that can't be. My experience knows it's not so. What I see, it's not so. All the things. But Abraham heard God say to a man that had no children with a barren wife, I have made you a father of many nations. And he did what? Believed God. And He's taken us into how we receive this promise of the gospel, just like Abraham did. When God speaks, and what He speaks denies everything you've seen, everything you've understood, everything you know, every reasoning you have. But God says it. His word says it. Are you an Abraham or are you a gainsayer? Are you an Abraham and says, Lord, it's not what I see. It's not what I've been taught. It's not what I've understood. But you have said it. And I believe it. He said, this is what Abraham did. When God called something that wasn't, when God said it is. See, He didn't say, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. He says, I've already done it, Abraham. Do you understand that every promise of the gospel is not something God's going to do? How do you know that? Every promise, this freedom that Brother Oscar was talking about and rejoicing in, and calling you to rejoice in this freedom in Christ, it's not something that God just did for you last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago or however. He did it before you knew it. He did it before you believed it. He did it before you walked in it. He did it before anyone knew your name. He did it before anyone thought of you. He did it in Christ Jesus upon the cross. And He speaks a promise, and because it's His reality to a lost world, and says, I have crucified your old man with Christ. And that's to every one of you. And it doesn't matter what your struggle is. It doesn't matter what you're fighting with. It doesn't matter if you know the Lord. It doesn't matter if you think you know the Lord or not. It's what God says He has done. The issue is who's going to receive it. Amen. See, that's the issue. It's not, is God going to do it? God's done it. The issue is who receives it. The one that says, well, God messed up this time because He's calling something that isn't to be. Well, let's read on. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Preaching the gospel to people. Preaching the gospel to preachers. One of the things that always comes up is, now here's the things you need to consider. You need to consider that there's a lot of folks that came up a different way. There's a lot of folks that didn't have the opportunities that you had and the teaching that you had. There's a lot of folks that didn't have the training that you had. There's a lot of folks that are in a lot deeper bondage than you. There's a lot of folks, and the list goes on and on about the things we need to consider when we're preaching the gospel, or the things we need to consider why this promise that the Son will make you free can't work for you. And I promise you, when anyone hears the gospel that Jesus shed His blood and that washes and sanctifies the people, shed it for you to wash you from all sin and unrighteousness, hung on a cross to crucify that old man of sin, destroy it once and for all. I promise when you first heard that, and maybe this morning, you reasoning why that can't work for you. And you got all the things to consider that Abraham considered not. Can you see that? All the reasons it can't work for you, all the reasons this promise can't be yours or someone else's, and you consider it, and that's the reason you can't receive it. Because Abraham considered not. He knew his body was dead, past the age of reproduction. That's what he's saying. Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb had always been barren. And then past the time of life, if she hadn't have been barren. All the reasons that what God says is just foolishness. He didn't consider. Someone says, well, you know, God gave you a brain, use it. Well, I believe that. If you're working on the job, I believe that, you know, if you're doing anything in life, but when your brain runs into the Word of God, and God's saying something different than what your brain says, this is the moment that the issue is decided whether you're going to receive the promise or not. Probably the greatest objection through the gospel as I know by experience. What does that mean? You know, I got saved 18 years ago. How many times I heard someone, first time I got saved, well then the second time I got saved, and then I got saved in prison, and then I got saved before my wife kicked me out. And I know by experience, because I know about salvation because I've experienced more than anybody. I don't believe they know anything about God by experience. They don't know the first thing about God. And our experience, but you can take the preachers that I've walked this walk. I know how it is. You'll never be free. I've been serving God 50 years. You're going to struggle every day. I know by experience. Well, what about if the Son make you free? You shall be free indeed. What about therefore being made free from sin? What about He gave Himself to redeem us from all iniquity? And the Word of God just keeps shouting from the Scripture and says, oh, but I know. Oh, you don't understand what I've been through and I've seen, but Abraham considered it not. Amen. And until a person can hear God and believe Him and consider not every denying voice, he can never receive from God. I'm not talking about a miracle in your body. I want you to hear me. I'm not talking about, well, you're going to get that raise. I'm not talking about, is everybody going to start saying nice things about you if you believe God enough? I'm talking about these promises given to Abraham that we call the gospel of Jesus Christ. As long as you consider the things that say why it can't be, you can't receive it from God. He considered not his own body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. I want to tell you that one that first sees Christ, they may come because their sin has destroyed them. they may come because nothing they have tried has been able to change that. But the day they come to Him, they've quit considering that. And they begin to consider that His blood was shed to make them free. So, he staggered not at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, I want you to see something here. We read in the book of Hebrews that these promises, he received Isaac after so many years, after floundering in his own works. He walked that land as a pilgrim. But the scripture speaks of Abraham and these others that believed God, that believed His promise of redemption to come, and said these all died in faith, not having received the promise. I want you to consider this. They died not receiving it, but they died believing it. I'll give God 6 months. Anyone ever told God that? I'll believe God if this. Brother Surface, something he's told this congregation often, facing a fiery trial, said we can stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Our God is able, but if God don't, we still won't bow. We're still going to trust Him. They said, oh, no, they did not know if God don't. The scripture says these died in faith, not having received the promise. God having provided what? Some better thing for us. You don't have to die in faith. You can live in faith. You can walk in victory in faith. Amen. But these, the one the promise was given to, died in faith, not having received the promise. And he did what? 20th verse, giving glory to God. Can you see that? When God promised, he believed it. Can you hear him when he went into Egypt telling Pharaoh, one place we get this portion of land, that's okay, God has made me a father of many nations. He spoke it, he told me, he promised, I'm going to be all right, Pharaoh. Amen, I'm just going to walk with the Lord. God has told me, and he gave glory to God. And Pharaoh, ooh boy. They died in faith, not receiving the promise, yet giving glory to God. But he's telling you what the righteousness of faith is. And this is why God is so moved by it. Because he speaks something that's unbelievable. Let me ask you this. How many of you would say the first time I heard someone say you could be free from sin, I didn't believe it? Why? It's unbelievable. First time I heard someone say that the blood of Jesus just washes it all out and it's just not there anymore and it's gone, I didn't believe it. Anyone say that? I didn't. We'd preached together for a number of years. I remember the service. Brother Service was preaching on the covenant of grace and the sanctifying power of the blood. Well, we're going to humor the guy. But what business has he got getting in the pulpit preaching something that's unbelievable? Come on now. And then I had to fight with what the scripture was saying. Which what was unbelievable to me. But the scripture kept shouting it. It kept getting louder. And I found out it didn't say it one place. Didn't say it just two places. Didn't say it just three places. Didn't say it just four places. There was no safe place in that Bible. There's no place. I'll just read this little part right here everywhere I turn. It's shouting at Jesus also that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And I'm everywhere. I'm running into that which is unbelievable. Because Everything I ever heard out of the church said it's not that way. But the righteousness of faith said, God, my dead body denies it. My experience denies it. My counselors deny it. But you say it. And I believe you. And I give you glory. And I won't be ashamed of what you've spoken. I'll shout it. I'll sing about it. I'll declare it. And I'll give you glory, Lord. And being fully persuaded, verse 21, that what he had promised he was able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. What does it mean? God looked at Abraham's response to a promise that would make just about anyone stagger, to a promise that was unbelievable, to a promise that denied everything his mind told him to consider. And what did Abraham do? He believed it. And God says, now that's something I can give and fulfill promise. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was the reason that Abraham became a father of many nations. It was the reason that we are called the children of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ. We're not going to go much further. We may just set up where we're going to go maybe next week. 22nd verse, it was imputed to him for righteousness. It's not written for his sake alone that it was imputed, but to us also to whom it shall be imputed. What are you saying? It will be accounted to us for righteousness. It will be the reason that God fulfills promises to you that generations, even in the church, have never found because you believe him. And it said, to us also it shall be imputed if we believe on him who raised up our Lord Jesus from the dead, who was delivered for offenses, raised again for our justification. Two more verses. Therefore, being justified by faith. You know who this is speaking of? You say, well, that's all of us. I would sure hope so. But it's that man kneeling in the temple, or that soul kneeling at the altar, or someone riding down the road, been fighting with the Word of God, calling upon the Lord. And they finally surrender to believe His Word. That's the one it's speaking of, therefore being justified by faith. I'm going to take it to me. I use my testimony. I tell people it's the only one I got. You preach, you use your testimony. I don't want you using mine. But walking in a church house so full of darkness, I can't to this day have never found the words to describe the darkness that filled me. The emptiness. Kneeling at an altar. I don't even know how I got there. The front bench of a church. You ever just been tired? Brother Mormon walked over and knelt by me and said, what do you need? And it's almost like the hardest words ever came out of my mouth. But I said, I need to be saved. I want to tell you, it wasn't because the words were formed, but right there was a man justified by faith that was fixing to enter grace. That righteousness of faith God found coming out of the heart of a filthy fool. But that fool was fixing to enter grace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The war just ended. between me and God and between anyone and God. There's people that sit on these church pews and fight with God every service. But I had been fighting with God. At that hour, the war ended. That filthy fool began to call to the Lord and began to believe that Jesus was the only one that could save him. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. And it's at that moment that God reached down to a man that all he had to offer God was the righteousness of faith. And God said, I can give promise to this man. And he lifted him up. Where? Into this grace. And that's the glories of salvation. And we're not going to go into that this morning. The righteousness of faith, what is called justification by faith, is simply the reason that you can receive the promise that was given to Abraham. He believed the one who called at things that be not as though they are. He considered not his own body now dead. He staggered not at the promise of God, but gave glory to God. I remember there at that altar, Brother Mormon began to lead me through what a sinner's prayer, just ask the Lord to save you. And I'm not a fan of a sinner's prayer. I tell people, you ask the Lord to forgive you, you ask the Lord to come to you, you give yourself to the Lord. But I've walked too long, seen too many that they give them a prayer, and now stand up, and now you're saved, and your name's written in heaven. It's all a fallacy. But I do remember this. I'd called upon the Lord, just simply asked Him to forgive me and save me. And He said, just thank the Lord for saving you. And I said, but I don't feel saved. He said, you believe His word? I said, yes. He said, well, thank Him. And I lifted my hands to the Lord and just began to thank Jesus. But this wasn't coming out of a form. It wasn't coming out of a ritual. It was coming, I want to tell you, out of a filthy fool that somehow had offered to God the righteousness of faith. I began to give glory to God, and Abraham gave glory to God. I tell you, I didn't die in faith. Abraham died in faith. He said, I'm just a pilgrim here. God's got for me a city. I want to tell you, and many of you know what I'm talking about. God gave me a city. Amen. He gave me a city. Some of you could shout, He gave me a city. Amen. I've told you the story of the man that just liked to hang around. He'd be here before service. We was working out here. He'd be out here throughout the week. We was working, getting some of these buildings, youth building. Service time, show up, he'd exit. After service, he'd show up. Won't know if you want to go grab a bite. Finally, I looked at him and called him by name. I said, listen, you don't get this thing through osmosis. You know, making contact, kind of move through. In times past, I've ministered children's camp, teen camps. I believe it was a teen camp, maybe I told them. Presence of God move. And I tell them, I said, I'm going to tell you something, and I pray I'm wrong. But some of you are going to die and go to hell. But none of you have to. Let me understand that difference. And I can look across this congregation and I pray I'm wrong. Somebody said, you should never say anything like that. Well, some of you are going to die and go to hell. But none of you have to. And some of you are going to struggle in religion until the hour that you die and go to hell. But none of you have to. You say, but this gospel you preach, it's unbelievable. Yes, it is. But it is the Word of God. But it makes the man stagger. Yes, it does. But it is the Word of God. But if you just look around and consider all these things, oh yes, there's so many things to consider. Abraham considered not. And this was accounted to him for righteousness.